Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, go to our website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy. We'll go to your calls in just a few moments. Remember the number to dial to get your question answered live on air, 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265. And as always, our contact information via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, on the World Wide Web, equip.org, and via the telephone, resource consultants are standing by, that number 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. But I want to begin today's broadcast by interviewing one of my all-time favorite pastor friends, Abed Alexander. He is pastor of a tremendous church, Tabernacle Baptist Congregation, situated in Boston. He's had an incredible ministry to people of all stripes, but particularly to Haitian believers who, had it not been for his vision, might well have been sucked up into the prosperity gospel. And so I very much appreciate his passion, his ministry, and his friendship, and I welcome him now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Abed, how are you?
How are you? It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it is so good to have you on the broadcast, and the very first thing I want to ask you is, how are the people of Boston dealing with the tragedy that concerns the Boston Marathon, and maybe more specifically, how is this an opportunity for witness and ministry?
Well, it's a tremendous opportunity to speak about the evil that exists in the world, and also how God is sovereign over what's going on, because when we see the intent of those terrorists, we can say that God has limited the damages that could have occurred, even though we cry with those who lost family members and many who have been injured, but we understand that it could have been a greater catastrophe, wasn't it, for the grace of God, for the hands of God on the situation. And also it's an opportunity to reach out with the love of Christ. And Bostonians are known to be very to support each other, and we use that opportunity to encourage the church to do the same, and even to give a better example of what it means to reach out to others. And that's what we did in church last Sunday. We prayed for those who are recuperating, and pray for healing for those who are mourning, and also we also encourage people to pray for the government and the state officials and the policemen, the state police, and all those who put their life in the line to provide security. It's been a very difficult, troubled week, but we can see the hands of God was all over it as well, in terms of preserving lives and also giving opportunity to minister to others.
Having had an opportunity to worship in your church, Tabernacle Baptist Congregation in Boston, it's been one of the great experiences that I've had. Talk to me for a moment, before we talk about the article that you wrote for the Christian Research Journal, about your vision for this church.
Well, the church we started in 1997 out of a need for a Bible-centered, Bible-teaching church in the community. And we felt there was a vacuum in that at that level, where people were running after miracles left and right. There were revival services all over the place, but when you hear what was being preached, that there was no biblical substance, and it was all about what you can get from God, and the kind of things, the kind of prosperity gospel that was out there. And we were sitting there aching, hearing in those things, and we felt a pressing call to start this church. And we started actually out of a Bible study, and with four people, and who wanted to understand the Word of God in someone's living room. And then finally it grew, and finally we started the church in 1997. But the vision is to see people grow spiritually, to come to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to grow in their knowledge of Him, and to know the Word of God, and to be able to articulate their faith against whatever cultic movement and whatever is going on around out there.
You have reached out to so many Haitians, and the primary constituency, I would say, having been in the congregation, is Haitian.
Yes.
And what I have been impressed with is exactly what you just articulated, their passion for knowing the Word of God, not only getting into the Word of God, but getting the Word of God into them.
Yes, we praise God for that. The hunger was even greater than we thought, and when the church started, and we see a lot of people who really wanted to know God, and we've seen a lot of growth in the last few years, and we really praise God for that. And your coming has been a blessing to us, has added to that vision, because people have listened a lot to the Bible Answer Man, and you have given us the tools as well through the Christian Research Institute to articulate our convictions out there. So it's been a great blessing.
You wrote an article for the Christian Research Journal. It's titled Voodoo and Christianity, Compatibility or Irreconcilable Differences. And this is a primary belief structure, in fact, an identity for so many Haitians. And you felt strongly about people knowing where voodoo differentiates itself from the historic Christian faith, so that we can take essential Christian doctrine and use them as opportunities to reach people involved in this syncretistic belief system.
Yes, because we as Haitians, our roots are from Africa. We came with the belief system in belief in spiritism, animism, and that makes part of voodoo beliefs, and then and that becomes also not only a religion in Haiti, but people have accepted it as part of our culture, and because of the fine line that exists between religion and culture, many evangelicals have been very timid in terms of attacking voodoo directly, because of the fear of losing our identity. And because of that, a lot of things have been tolerated. People have, through syncretic practices, included some of the practices in their belief system, in their tendencies, in their worship even sometimes. And it was necessary for us to address it in an article to show what voodoo truly is, and how it differentiates from Christianity.
Yeah, and I think one of the necessities of having an article like this in the Christian Research Journal is the amount of misinformation and disinformation with respect to voodoo. In fact, that kind of misinformation is being communicated through megaphones and Christian platforms, one of which is the Christian Broadcasting Network. And Pat Robertson, want to have you listen to this clip and then respond to what is being said.
Something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people might not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, Napoleon III and whatever. And they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. It's a true story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. And they kicked the French out. You know, the Haitians revolted and got themselves free. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other, desperately poor.
So here you have a Christian leader, Abed, talking about the Haitians making a pact with the devil. So they sacrifice a black pig on an altar. Through that sacrifice, they have a pact with the devil. In reality, however, it was their courage. It was the determination of Haitian slaves who were vowing to be free or to die trying to access that freedom. So this whole nation was trying to become an independent black nation, and this had nothing to do with a pact with the devil, and yet Haitians have been stigmatized with this.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that somebody would go on record of saying things that have no historical credibility, and because there is no basis for such statement. We are all familiar with the ceremony that took place, what they call Bois Caïman, Alligator Wood, which is not too far from Cape Haitien in northern Haiti. It was the opportunity of the slaves to gather together and to have the determination to be freed, as you indicated. There was no indication of any pact with the devil. That has never been documented anywhere, and it was their practice when they gathered together. That's the belief that they carried with them from Africa. And then, yes, there was that ceremony, but there was no indication of any pact made with the devil. And it was unfortunate that that statement was made right after the devastation, where we were still mourning there were so many lives, and while we were trying to figure out what are we going to overcome this disaster, and that somebody would make that statement. But unfortunately, we had also other evangelicals. I would mention Al Mohler, who responded as well by saying that, how can you say that God hates Haiti because of the pact of the devil when you see the outpouring of love from all over the place, and that's motivated by the love of Christ to come and help the Haitians? So that, I think that was a good balance there at that time.
Dr. Alexander, I've said this many times, but virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And this is true with voodoo as well. As you point out in the article in the Christian Research Journal, the Haitians who are involved in voodoo are worshiping a supreme deity who simply cannot be approached by humans. And they also embrace a type of ancestor worship in that some lesser deities in voodoo are deified ancestors. So this is very much an ancestor worship kind of a system in part. But I think that becomes a tremendous opportunity to talk about a Jesus Christ who is God revealed in human flesh, who can be known.
Yeah. Yes. People pretend that voodoo is monotheistic. There is a one supreme God. But when you look at it, it's more polytheistic because they have various lesser gods that you have to worship in order to be access to their supreme God, and which is contrary to the word of God. We have Christ, as you indicated, as the sole mediator between men and God. Reveal himself through Jesus Christ. By knowing Christ, we know God the Father. If we have Christ, we have Christ the Father, and we don't have to go through so many ancestors, spirits, or lois, as they call them, in order to have access to the supreme deity. And a lot of people misunderstand the true nature, the true doctrine of voodoo in that sense. So I think we pointed that out in that article.
Talking to Dr. Abed Alexander, who's written a tremendous article for the Christian Research Journal. It's titled Voodoo and Christianity, Compatibility and Irreconcilable Differences. One more reason to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. You can order online on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion. Equip.org is the address, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resources are available through Resource Consultants via the phone. That number, 888-7000 in the letter CRI. After the break, I want to ask Dr. Alexander just a few more questions, and then we'll go right to your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. In fact, when people do not sufficiently support the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we simply don't stay on. That is one of the tragedies that's happened in the Boston area. We were on the air in Boston for many years, and then unfortunately we had to go off the air because we simply didn't have enough resources available to us in that area. So again, it's critical to support the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and we particularly appreciate those who are monthly supporters of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized book to you, a family member, or a friend. And for those who give a gift this month, remember the book that is available to you free of charge for your gift, Follow Me by David Platt.
To understand voodoo, one must understand its history. Its similarities with traditional West African religion led to the understanding that it is the same religion with minor variations. It is therefore more polytheistic than it claims to be, and its practices, worship, and way of life are incompatible with the Christian faith. The latest issue of the Christian Research Journal reveals the irreconcilable differences between voodoo and Christianity. To subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man, so stay tuned. At CRI, our goal is to teach more people to understand God's Word more clearly so they can follow Christ more closely. And you are a vital part of that, because every Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resource is entirely listener-supported. That's why we're asking for your gift of support today to help CRI equip you and countless other people for a more authentic Christian life. As our thank you, we want to send you David Platt's Follow Me, one of Hank's favorite books on discipleship. Follow Me is a life-changing look at why we can be doing all the right things at church but still feel something missing, and how you can find deeper fulfillment in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give your gift and request your copy of Follow Me. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With sound, biblically grounded answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. For 75 years, youth ministries have breathed new vitality into major American church traditions. But their influence has also led to widespread spiritual immaturity, consumerism, and self-centeredness. Find out why Christians don't want to grow up. Other topics include Christianity and black slavery. Was St. Peter the first pope? Pi's Wager, Life of Pi as Pragmatic Argument, Jihad and Just War Theory, observing the 40th anniversary of Roe vs. Wade, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Could we be doing all the right things at church without actually following Christ? Follow Me by pastor and radical disciple maker David Platt is a life-changing look at the deep spiritual fulfillment we can all have when we trade slogans and platitudes for an authentic relationship with Christ. One of Hank's favorite discipleship books, Follow Me, is our thank you for your ministry support gift today to help CRI share God's truth. To request your copy with your gift today, visit equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder that the Christian Research Journal, which we're talking about on this broadcast, is an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Cover story in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal is Christianity and Black Slavery. And it seems to me that that story of Christianity and Black Slavery is inextricably woven together with the article by Pastor Abed Alexander on voodoo, because in voodoo, you have a syncretistic religion that has taken parts of other religions and mixed them with Roman Catholicism. And the slaves who were oftentimes Haitian slaves of Catholic masters were not allowed to gather for just any purpose, even for Christian religious services, because those kinds of gatherings were dangerous to the slave owners because they thought that could cause uprisings and they would lose their slaves. So although so many of the Haitians were baptized into Catholicism, the slaves were not truly converted into Catholicism because their slave masters were treating them just as though they were animals. And Dr. Abed Alexander, I think this is a crucial issue for Christians to grapple with, because from a biblical perspective, Paul writing to Timothy, slave traders were put into the same category as murderers, adulterers, perverts, and liars. And so slavery and Christianity have nothing in common, but there's always a perversion of Christianity, and so many people see that caricature as opposed to seeing the real thing.
Yes, absolutely. And one thing that we may add, even when there were converting, supposedly baptizing the slaves, thinking that they will make them Christians, so to speak, they did not even give them the basic understanding of who God is, because they didn't want to open their eyes to a loving God, because that would be incompatible with the practice of slavery itself. So they just wanted to baptize them, but in order to keep them in slavery, but not present them the true message of the gospel, lest their eyes would be open to their own dignity, to their own worth, and therefore not accepting the treatment that the slave masters were imposing upon them.
You know, one of the reasons that I felt it's so important for you to write this article for the Christian Research Journal is that, as we mentioned in the first segment of this broadcast, there's so much misinformation circulating with respect to voodoo. But part of the reason for that, and you outlined that in the article, is there's no authoritative text. This is an oral religion, and this is not buttressed by an authoritative text like the Bible. And therefore, there are all kinds of variations within voodoo that should be noted as well.
Yeah, exactly. It is until the recent publication of supreme priest of voodoo in Haiti, Max Beauvoir, La Prière Guinée and Recueil de Chants Sacrés, where you can, from the songs and from the prayers, infer some of the things that they believe in, but there's no, it's a religion that is based primarily on oral tradition that has been passed on throughout generations, throughout centuries. But there's no standard. There's no standard of doctrine. There's no standard of practice, and therefore it leaves to whoever is practicing voodoo to decide what to do with it, basically. And even though it has maintained some of the core essentials beliefs, but there's so much variation within the belief system itself and the practice of voodoo, as you indicated.
Again, the article on voodoo available in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. One more reason to subscribe, and you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I want to go back as I close this segment with you to your church and to the fact that you not only have a Bible-believing church, a church who is not just in word, but indeed committing themselves to get into the Word of God, but you're also a church of prayer. The last time I spoke at your church, your lovely wife Edith told me that she prayed for every one of my children by name, and then I was astounded when she actually named every one of my 12 children in succession, which is something that I can't always do.
She remembers the tribe well.
Yes, she did.
I'm blessed with a very loving, God-fearing, and prayer warrior woman. We've been married for 27 years, and Edith, really, she develops that ministry she calls Mothers on Knees, where she gathered with a few women of the church every Monday morning. And even when we go on vacation, she makes sure that Monday morning is we don't plan anything, that she spend the time on her knees praying for the youth, praying for college age and young adult, because she knows what this generation is going through right now, and they need preservation. They need God in their lives, and that's what she's doing. And just like she cares for about our two boys, Jean-Abed and Jonathan, who spent some time with you, and thank you for that as well. And that she also prays for the youth in the church, for the young adult, and also. And wherever she goes, she will write their names down, and then every Monday morning, and she does as she does for her own children as well.
Well, I am I'm deeply appreciative for her prayers and for your friendship, and as you mentioned, I've met your sons and had Jonathan actually stay in my home, so I'm very appreciative of your ministry and your family and the example that they are.
Thank you. You've been a blessing to us and to our church, and as I said to you, and I'll say it publicly, you have contributed greatly to this foundation of this church, because it was through listening through CRI over the years, the Bible Answer Men, reading your books and articles, that I've been able to articulate very clearly the convictions and the vision that God has put in my heart, and that led to the foundation starting of the church.
Well, it's an honor to be a co-laborer in Christ with you, and look forward to having you on the broadcast again sometime in the future.
Well, it will be a pleasure. It's an honor. Thank you very much.
God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
And again, one more reason to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. You can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000. And the letter CRI, a lot of you already hanging on. The number to dial to get your question answered is always 888-ASK-HANK. First up, Roger, Modesto, California, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Hank. God bless you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Good talking to you.
Good. I don't know if the pastor's still listening, but I get the Research Journal, and the article he wrote was great. It was very informative. So I appreciate his contribution.
And I'm sure he'll appreciate those remarks.
My question actually comes from, I was reading Luke 13 and the scene where Jesus heals the woman in the synagogue, and the Bible informs us that she had a spirit of infirmity on her for several years. And my question is really this, is when you go to pray for someone, for the Lord to heal them, how do you discern between the fact that we just live in a fallen world and discern between maybe it is a spirit of infirmity. And of course, this is assuming that the Bible isn't speaking metaphorically there, which I don't see why it would be. And also, this is also assuming that it wasn't someone who was saved, because I'm assuming when you've accepted Christ as your Savior, the Spirit lives inside of you, and therefore you cannot be possessed by any other spirit. But that's my question.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to recognize that this has nothing to do with an exorcism. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus addresses the woman. He does not address a demon. And Satan doesn't speak through the crippled woman, but she remains silent until Jesus heals her. And not only Luke, but the synagogue ruler refers to what happened in this account as a healing, not as an exorcism. So I don't think we need to suppose that this is an exorcism. But in terms of the general question, I think what's really important to recognize is that demonic possession has to do with something happening in terms of our mind. Satan, as it were, sits on our shoulder and whispers into our ear. Now, the whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear, but it does penetrate the ear of the mind. And that's why the Apostle Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against principalities and powers of darkness. Furthermore, I think it's important to recognize that maladies of the mind can also affect us physically. So there is a connection between the two, but we do not have to simply suppose that when someone is sick, this has something to do with the demonic. While the Bible teaches that some are sick as a result of sin, in passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Jesus made it clear that such is not always the case. And of course, the principal passage bearing that out is John chapter 9.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I do believe, of course, that, in fact, I think most people who are sick, saved or not, it's just because we live in a corrupt world. So I guess I just maybe got confused with it using language like spirit and loosed. Woman, you are loosed now of this infirmity. And so I guess I jumped to the conclusion that it was some sort of form of exorcism. So I wasn't sure why it was using that language if it wasn't.
But remember that even if this is an exorcism, there's no warrant for supposing that the person who was exorcised was a believer. So we need to keep that in account as well. The fact that she was called a daughter of Abraham does not make her a believer any more than when Jesus referred to Zacchaeus in his fallen state as a son of Abraham, that made him a believer in Yahweh, the God of Israel. He very obviously, before his encounter with Jesus, was not. So the reason I make that distinction, and it's an important distinction, is there are a whole host of Christian exorcism ministries that suppose that Christians can be inhabited by demons, but the Bible clearly rebuts that notion. If in fact you are a believer, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that temple will not be shared with a demon. Now, if you're an unbeliever, well, you are in a very real sense possessed of the devil, in the sense that you're a son or a daughter of Satan. Again, that doesn't mean that you're literally a son or daughter of Satan. It means, however, that you are in the kingdom of Satan, and you can legitimately call Satan your father. So that's the state of all those who cannot say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Written about that in my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. Be right back with more.
There is nothing sadder or more damaging to the advance of the kingdom than a Christian life that's identical to a non-Christian life. In his book, Follow Me, pastor and Bible teacher David Platt explains that our quest for the cheap pleasures of this life shows we don't truly understand the vastly greater treasure Jesus offers when we seek fulfillment only in Him. Request your copy of Follow Me as our thank you when you support CRI with a gift today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. At the time of Christ, slavery was universal in the civilized world, but by the 5th century AD, the influence of Christianity had all but eliminated it. How then, in the same Christian era, nearly a millennium later, could legalized slavery be revived in a far more brutal form? And what role did Christians play in finally abolishing it? Other topics include the Gospel of Jesus' Wife, Steve Jobs' Jesus and the Problem of Evil, Jihad, Jizya, and Just War Theory, the Euthyphro Dilemma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With sound, biblically grounded answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. At CRI, our goal is to teach more people to understand God's Word more clearly so they can follow Christ more closely. And you are a vital part of that because every Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resource is entirely listener-supported. That's why we're asking for your gift of support today to help CRI equip you and countless other people for a more authentic Christian life. As our thank you, we want to send you David Platt's Follow Me, one of Hank's favorite books on discipleship. Follow Me is a life-changing look at why we can be doing all the right things at church but still feel something missing, and how you can find deeper fulfillment in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give your gift and request your copy of Follow Me. Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Nicholas in San Francisco, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, Hank. My question is that I'm looking at Acts chapter 16, verse 6.
Yes.
When Paul was going to Asia to spread the word.
Yes.
And they forbid him to do that. And I just want to know why that the Holy Spirit asked him not to do that. And does it have any impact of the delay in the Asia now?
Well, no, it doesn't, but there's a really significant point here. And the point is, and by the way, for those not familiar with this passage, this is a passage that is often referred to as the Macedonian call, because Paul receives a vision of a man from Macedonia that is calling him to come and preach the gospel in Macedonia. And as a result of that, Paul is directed to the chief city of the Macedonian region, which is Philippi. And you'll recall that there he encounters Lydia, who was a very successful businesswoman, and he converts her after preaching the gospel to her. She's baptized. Not only is she baptized, but her entire household is baptized. And then later on, he encounters the Philippian jailer because he is jailed himself. And then there's a great earthquake, and God dramatically saves him from that jail. And as a result of that dramatic encounter, the jailer wants to know what he can do to be saved, and Paul preaches the gospel, and the jailer and his whole household are saved, and both become very instrumental as reproducing disciple makers in turning an empire upside down. So you see the tremendous impact of a vision given to Paul, which directs him to go somewhere. Now, we should bring the gospel, therefore, to wherever God opens the door of opportunity for us. And this vision of a man from Macedonia was a supernatural direction of God. And while God does not now use visions, he does use providential circumstances to lead us in the present day. And I can testify to that. Just this last weekend, I was in Vietnam. Now, there were a lot of places that I could have gone to, but God, through supernatural direction, directed me to go to Vietnam. There were a number of places that I had thought about going, but I ended up going to Vietnam, and that was a very significant opportunity to equip committed believers as reproducing disciple makers to reach a nation in which less than 1% of the populace even knows about Jesus Christ. So again, God directed me through circumstances, and that's the principle we find in the passage. It's not that Paul could not have gone somewhere else. It's that the Holy Spirit is directing his activities and supernaturally directed him in a particular path. And as a result of seeing the vision and the Macedonian call, the very next day he boards a ship and he follows the directive of God.
Right. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You've answered my question.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Anthony in New York, New York, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Hank. I've been waiting to talk to you since 7 o'clock this morning.
Well, good to be talking to you.
I am honest to you all the time. I'm a recovering addict. I heard you talk about that one time on your show, and I just want to let you know that one time I went to my knees, and I really meant it, and I begged the Lord to come into my life, and from that exact second, he lifted something off my chest, and I didn't have any desire from that moment on, and I knew he wanted more from me, so I sought him out, and I started going to church, and I started listening, and I listened to a lot of sermons, and I actually still go to meetings, because there's a lot of people in there that they tell them to believe in a higher power, but they have no clue what that higher power is. You can't make them up like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And so I go there every day, slowly by my actions of life and my words that I speak, because everything that I learned is from God. So when I speak through him. He speaks through me. And I slowly bring them to, because a lot of them are their perceptions of the way they're brought up. A lot are brought up Catholic, and you're always going to hell, and their perception is bad, so they want to stay away from that God that they really don't know. So I still go to meetings and slowly bring them to the Lord.
Oh, wonderful.
But the thing that I really wanted to ask you, because I got more excited today, was in Galatians, when he talks about how we are the seed, when he talked about Christ being the seed with Abraham before the law, and Christ was born in Galatians. If you go to 4 all the way, excuse me, 3 all the way to the end where it says children of God too, the law and the promises, that once we accept Christ into our life, that the Spirit is comes in us, and we now are led by the Spirit. And I have a good friend that's a Catholic, and you know he's always bringing me to negativity of the law and the negativity of this and that. And I said, but and if I'm wrong, Hank, please tell me. But I feel like I'm driven by the Lord, so by the Spirit so much, and I don't do things. I ask all the time, God, please explain where you want me to go. And because of that, because of believing in Christ, that we are now go right back to before the law with Abraham of his promise. Is that true?
Yeah.
If I go to Romans?
I mean, this is the point of Galatians. Galatians makes the point emphatically, and Paul here is writing and saying that Abraham only had one seed. He didn't have seeds plural, but he had a seed singular. And then he points out that seed singular is none other than Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the royal seed of Abraham. But as you read on, and I'm very happy that you're reading the passage in entirety, as you read on, you realize exactly what you just allude to. You realize there's a double entendre going on here where there are many seeds in this sense. If you are in Jesus Christ, who is the royal seed of Abraham, then you are by virtue of that the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. And then Paul says it's whether you're Jew or Greek. So it has nothing to do with your nationality or your genealogy or your ancestry. Whether you're slave or free has nothing to do with your station in life. Whether you're male or female has nothing whatsoever to do with your gender. If you are in Jesus Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham, and then the promise God made to Abraham applies to you. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And I think, again, as you read on in Galatians, this becomes far more poignant and profound because Paul takes this issue of the covenant and he typologically heightens its fulfillment when he figuratively contrasts Sarah with Hagar. And he says, these things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. By the way, this is in Galatians chapter 4. And then he says, this is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But, says Paul, the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. And in saying that, Paul emphasizes emphatically that all who fixate on an earthly Jerusalem with a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices are in slavery to types and shadows. But all who recognize that the shadow of Jerusalem has found fulfillment in the substance of Christ are free to inherit the earth. And that's our freedom. Our freedom is not found in going back to a little piece of land on the west coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Our freedom is that the meek will inherit the earth, that paradise lost will become paradise restored.
And Hank, I swear, it's been 4 years now. It's been 3 years since I've been baptized. And this extra reading this just makes, because I'm going crazy inside, and not mentally, through what is overturned. I mean, you're talking about an addict that lived on drugs, and now what I did is I kept one good talent that I had, and that was the search of the drugs. I now use it all to the search of God and of Christ. And so I read and listen and read and listen the same way I would have done drugs. And it overwhelmed me where I actually woke up one day and said, wow, I have another son that's 13, and God has given me permission to be a real father to this one of the five that I had. And I'm slowly bringing the other four back to me, or not to me, but, you know, to the Lord. But I'm a father.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
wow.
You know, it's just so amazing.
Wow. your testimony is exhilarating, and your love for the Word of God, hopefully intoxicating to everybody else listening in. Bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to George, Columbia, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, George.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I got a quick one for you. Question from Mark 8-26, where Jesus is.
You know what, Mark? George, you're not coming through at all at this point. There's something wrong with the phone line or with a connection. Hopefully we'll catch you another time. Tim in Greenville, Illinois, WVEL. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. With the show starting off with the Haitian and the voodoo and that kind of stuff, I'd rather finish off on a high note, but I do want to ask, crossing the other ocean, the Pacific, and out of Japan, the Naruto anime series and Jashinism, being part of the occult and that kind of stuff. My daughter's into this. Can you give me some instruction on what to say to her? How to talk her out of this?
Yeah, you know what I think is really important? Unfortunately, I just have a few moments to answer this question, but this is a series set in a Japanese fantasy world, and it's a story of an adolescent ninja who is striving to become the strongest of all ninjas. But wherever the worldview diverges from the historic Christian faith, it becomes an opportunity to communicate that which is true. And that underscores the chief principle that as Christians we should be attached to, and that is being so conversant with essential Christian doctrine that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, we'll know it instantaneously and we'll be able to take the deviations and use them as springboards or opportunities to share the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So the antidote to darkness, of course, is the light. We'll see you right back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions.
We appreciate you tuning into the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has deepened your understanding of the Scriptures and equipped you to better defend your faith. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. At CRI, our goal is to teach more people to understand God's Word more clearly so they can follow Christ more closely. And you are a vital part of that because every Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resource is entirely listener-supported. That's why we're asking for your gift of support today to help CRI equip you and countless other people for a more authentic Christian life. As our thank you, we want to send you David Platt's Follow Me, one of Hank's favorite books on discipleship. Follow Me is a life-changing look at why we can be doing all the right things at church but still feel something missing, and how you can find deeper fulfillment in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give your gift and request your copy of Follow Me. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With sound, biblically grounded answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, The Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.